Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. If you saw Eagle vs. Shark, then you heard the Reduction Agent's exuberant 80s celebration. You may not know that Reduction Agent's main man, James Milne, has an alter ego as Lawrence Arabia, who is the long black to the agent's latte. James has a new album, Chant Darling, out as Lawrence Arabia, and he's back from London to tour and to talk to us. Right, well, James, Lawrence Arabia isn't your only musical venture. What characterises Lawrence Arabia?
It was kind of formed out of necessity, really, because the Reduction Agents, who I was the front man for, everyone was very busy. So it formed itself out of necessity, really. Just it found an outlet. And I guess, you know, the previous one was, you know, the Reduction Agents was very reasonably concise and pop-oriented, and then the Lawrence Arabia was kind of the weirder, more esoteric cast-off.
I always thought it seemed to be your vehicle for arch social commentary as well, and there's certainly plenty of that on the new one.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it's more the older songs. I wasn't so into the arch social commentary at the time I was writing the Reduction Agent songs, because I was only a 19, 20-year-old young man. So it was, you know, it was probably more of a time thing, rather, and it's just the way I started writing songs. I'd never really step into a songwriting process thinking I'm going to write an arch social commentary, but it just comes out that way.
Yeah. You've been living in London for the past couple of years. What kind of impact did that have? Are you writing London songs now?
I mean, some of the, I suppose the song "Beautiful Young Crew" is kind of a Shoreditch song. It slowed the process down a lot, I think. I mean, I found a lot more excuses to not make music in London.
It takes a lot longer to do anything in London, doesn't it? I mean, to go for a coffee seems to take all day, or to go and check your mailbox.
It might even take 2 days to go and get a coffee. I mean, I don't know. Just it seems to take. I mean, you have friends that live a few miles away, but you might not see them for 6 months. You know, I live in East London and your friends in West London, is like, well, you can't be my friend anymore. You live on the other side of the city.
Exactly.
And you develop some sort of completely irrational pride in the particular quarter of London that you live in.
Yes. You're either in this safe part or the part with soul, isn't it? You know, you're either, oh, we live in the part that's got soul. You might get stabbed, but, you know, it's got soul.
Yeah, we live in a we lived in a stabby area. Proudly stabby.
There's a few of you over there now, aren't there? And you're all playing in each other's bands, and there are people playing on this album who you... Is it now viable to actually make your way as a musician there? Because it always seemed quite hard.
No, it's a ludicrous place to go and make music. One of the worst in the world. As much as there's kind of like a little core of New Zealanders over there, and it's just kind of other people to cry on, you know, some more shoulders to cry on, really. I don't think anyone's having a particularly good time musically over there.
So why are you doing it, I suppose, would be the question.
It's a culturally stimulating place to live, and, you know, the sheer amount of stuff you can go and experience, you know, art and sort of avant-garde music. There's the South Bank Centre and all these other things that just... There's just so much more depth of that kind of culture, and this is, you know, the area I live in Dalston and kind of Hackney. There's, you know, markets, and it's just a really multi-ethnic, stimulating place to live. So as far as that side of thing goes, I mean, I love living in London, but musically, it's the last bastion of the industry. It's a place that's so, you know, the industry really, you know, dug a trench around their business over there, and it's still, you know, being unsigned is still a stigma over there. It's not a badge of honour to be DIY, or it's like you're still auditioning. Every show's an audition. Every show you lose money because you're getting paid £50 and you have to spend all this money on taxi.
Have you ever had to pay to play?
Never had to pay to play, but I mean, invariably you lose money on playing shows. Like, it's, you know, you have to kind of toss up whether it's worth even playing.
You've been able to get away and tour a bit, which must be nice. I mean, with Ockerville River, they're very indie hip, aren't they?
Yeah. I had fortunate to have some contacts in that area, and I mean, it's great to be able to go into Europe. It's a much more kind of open and I guess maybe naive or less jaded
And they feed market. You better.
Oh, they feed you and house you, and you have these really remarkable experiences over there, and you know, and really enthusiastic audiences. Like, even you know, just for the lowly support act, they'll you know buy the merch in large amounts and be singing along. And
how much does it help what you're doing when something happens like getting 80s Celebration on the Eagle vs. Shark soundtrack? Did that make a big difference to you know your being able to live and work?
It was some money. I got some money for it, and I got a lot of MySpace messages from people in Australia. It's hard to kind of capitalise on some of these opportunities sometimes. I feel like I'm talking so negatively about everything every of my career.
That seems sad.
No, I'm not at all sad. It's almost just a, you know, you have this, you know, this real idealism at the start of your career, and I'm just, you know, realising that careers are inherently disappointing. And I'm quite relaxed about that. You know? I think I can. It's probably quite good fodder, and it's quite good to be realistic about things.
You've come back though. I mean, when did you get back here?
I came back in December.
And it seems to me from the outside that suddenly your name was on a lot of people's lips. You know, you're maybe the darling of student radio. You're playing gigs here, there, and everywhere. I mean, have you got a sense of things have developed while you've been away, sort of behind your back almost?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I don't know whether you know some people have this idea that maybe there's some respect involved in having been overseas, which I don't really see at all. But I mean, you know, I'm proud of the music I make, and you know, I feel it should be recognised. You know,
but I suppose what I mean is you're doing quite well now that you're back, aren't you?
I think so, but I mean, you know, yeah, it's all tempered by. Poverty and all sorts of unromantic things, which from an outside perspective.
And yeah, I get the impression that, I mean, I saw you play in December at Cassette, and that was riotous. It was great fun. You let loose and have a good time on stage.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the Reduction Agents, like, I mean, it's a whole different ballgame. We actually had our first practice in about 3 years before that show, but you know, we'd never practiced. And it just became this its own beast, really. So,
right. So when Lawrence Arabia does the you know the national album tour, what will it be like? Really slick then?
I mean, it's kind of like I did get kind of frustrated with the chaos, but there's I with a bit of distance, I romanticise that chaotic element. But we rehearse. I like to rehearse, and I like to be able to develop ideas a lot more. So, yeah.
So, when are you touring? When can people see you?
Playing in Wellington on March the 20th, Christchurch March the 21st, and Dunedin March the 22nd. That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday run, and then on Friday the 27th in Auckland at Cassette Number 9 again.
Right, and now you're going to give us a wee taste, aren't you? What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play the song Fine Old Friends, which is possibly another wry social commentary of some description, yeah.
Don't have conversations, they're just like two rotting stags, with their anecdotes antlers, going crash, crash, crash. They're paranoid and jealous, can't look each other in the eye. They're nervous and suspicious, but they try, try, try to get along, 'cause they're good friends. They get along 'cause they're fine old friends. Of their art, they're equally pathetic, they're equally as smart. They go on like two generals, like two titans in the field. but they're just two skinny tourists pretending to be real, and they get along 'cause they're good friends. They get along 'cause they're fine old friends. They get along.
James Milne singing Fine Old Friends, just for you, from his new album Chant Darling as Lawrence Arabia. Lawrence Arabia will be touring the country this month. And that is our show, Damien.
It is indeed. Thank you for listening. I've been Damien Christie.
I've been Russell Brown.
If there's something that you've missed and you'd like to hear again, go to publicaddress.net/radio.
And in the meantime, thank you, New Zealand On Air.